to be a part of this life would be a joy forever, and to tune into this essence, to become one with it, would always be my privilege. I knew that when events and happenings on Earth became too much for me, I could always escape within myself and tune into Akan and my son on their beautiful planet, beyond the restrictive time field of Earth, and they would know of my need for them. My departure to return to the soil of Earth held a poignant moment, leaving my golden boy. He would grow up quickly with Plia and Haben. Ailing was a little boy whose gentle eyes already had the look of distance, the faraway look of wisdom already he was seeing beyond the limited horizons of Earthbound people. Within his eyes was the knowledge and wisdom of the universe, a four-dimensional vision into the hearts of humankind. He was a little boy conceived by love, nourished and quickened within my body on Earth, born on another planet beyond the light barrier to acclimatize his heart to a higher frequency rate in the electromagnetic waveform, where the flow of time and the speed of light interact harmonically with the stars of his home system. He would grow up much more quickly than Earth children, and he would not experience the darkening hand of death. There was no sadness or emotion as Akan's spaceship flashed away from the lovely planet. I knew I would be back again soon. I was only going away to Earth for a while to do the work I had to do to bring the truth of the universe to the people there, to help expand their consciousness, to make them aware of their existence in an energetic universe, to make them understand why they were born, why they are who they are and why they must overcome their continuous strife. The darkness of space filled the viewer, except where bright stars gleamed and passed in the flow of time. Charon concentrated with relaxed confidence on the course of the spaceship, his mind attuned to the radiation of Earth's star, using telepathic waves of alpha rhythm brain waves of a particular frequency for celestial navigation. His handsome face was a study in complete composure, with a lock of fine chestnut hair across his high forehead giving him the appearance of a legendary god in deep thought as his golden eyes met mine in a flash of understanding. The bluish radiation from the sun filled the viewer and I saw its retinue of planets spaced out, reflecting the light of their star. Only Jupiter shone with an internal radiation, its planets and satellites bathed in and reflecting its light and that of the sun. Jupiter is a solar system within a solar system, where forms of life have their being, similar to elsewhere, and their way of life attuned to the finer shell of atmosphere around their small planets. Suddenly, before I could say anything, we were in the region of Earth's exosphere, then in the ionosphere. In that instant I saw the sky, soft blue and dappled with white clouds, as the spaceship smoothly changed frequency rate and appeared, hovering, over the mist-shrouded hills of Natal. After a moment, we landed gently beside the winding mountain track. Zulu men and women, returning to the homestead after a day in the fields, scattered with fright like a covey of quail. Their shouts of alarm could be heard far away on the mist-covered mountain. The sky wagon from Mdlel, I heard them call to one another in Zulu through the viewing lens, as the winding mountain track lost itself in white mist. A telephone post stood grey and ethereal on the far bank of the track. Kathkin Glel echoed through the hills. Make room for me. The mountain of Kathkin pushed into the main range of the Drakensburg, and the wagon of the sky had returned, pushing into the atmosphere. The descriptive words of the nearby Zulu faded in the distance when the viewing lens was switched off. I had no fear of the Zulu. Only the white men would harm me to get at the knowledge in my mind. When I was a child, a prancing Zulu warrior had saved my life by picking me up out of the path of a vicious snake and placing me on his shoulder as it rose up to strike at me. The great cobra buried its fangs in his cowhide shield as he flung it to the ground, and he killed the snake with his assegai. Chanting a war song, he ran with me on his shoulder back to the house and into the arms of my mother, who had had a premonition that had brought her out to look for me. My white nanny scolded me and put me to bed for riding on the shoulders of a black savage. A spear of hard wood tipped with iron. The wind stirred in the swirling mist and seemed to penetrate the earth as the long green grass flowed in waves to its touch. Such is the wind of earth, blowing as it has always blown throughout all time. I could sense it howling round the dome of the spaceship in its attempt to gain a foothold on the smooth and shiny surface. Akin moved to the wall on the leeward side, and the door slid open. The wind could not reach within the cabin because it was expelled away by the push of pure air within. Only when we stepped out on the hull could we feel again the blast of Earth's wind against our bodies. It ripped at my hair like a live thing. Spawned by a wilderness of magnetic imbalance and the vibrations of violent thoughts, it pushed its strength against the mountainside in the brute force method of all things on this planet. I took a breath of the dust-laden atmosphere, and I choked and coughed. Akin had his all-in-one suit on so that it covered his head and face, and even the slits for his eyes were covered with an invisible material. I had changed back into my cashmere twinset and tartan kilt, my knee-high stockings and walking shoes, and I had tied a scarf over my head for warmth. "Breathe slowly and not deeply at first," advised Akin. "Always stay in the fresh air, and gradually you will adapt again. Although your heart will not retain Earth time rhythm anymore, the tablets I have given you will maintain an even rhythm for your heart if you take one each year. Your heart is not strong, and the effect of the time change will always be felt. Hearts are timepieces for the electrical vibratory rate of each individual within the environment of birth. Is there any way to ensure lasting and natural heart transplants?" I wondered. "Indeed, yes," said Akin. "It can be done by matching a heart with the same time beat, rhythm and vibratory electrical pulse rate, just as blood types need to be matched for a transfusion. At the moment I have an electronic timing device attached to my chest to regulate the rhythm of my heartbeat in this changed time field condition, so that I can maintain normal circulatory pressure within this atmosphere. This device is embedded within the suit I am wearing, and it allows me to move freely outside of my spaceship when we have landed. We do not perform actual physical heart transplants, though, as we have found this to be quite unnecessary and contrary to nature. All we need is a device to control the pulse rate, as the heart is merely a pump that needs to work efficiently all the time. Then why couldn't I have a device to regulate my heartbeat in changed time field conditions?" I said. "My dear one, your heart is unstable. It would fly into a wild tachycardia. We have already taken the precautions that we can. There is nothing more to be done. Nothing is just handed to one on a plate," I replied. "For the real things in life, the things that really matter, one must know how to behave and be courageous enough to carry on." I felt myself slipping into dire devastation of aloneness that nothing could ever alleviate, a dreadful sense of abandonment on the soil of a hostile planet. I checked it, though, before my senses could give full rein to it. "No," I thought. "There is nothing more to be done. It has all been so worthwhile, so wonderful, no matter what price I must now pay with my health. Akin has told me what to expect and of the suffering to come before I can find peace. It depends on you, my beloved," he said, answering my thoughts. "Only through dire experience and deprivation do we achieve spiritual advancement. But remember always that my love will be with you forever. Our telepathic link remains on the alpha rhythm between our brains. And this physical parting is only temporary. Our son, Ailing, will come to fetch you home again. Now, you must go back to care for your Earth family." He removed his mask, and kissed me with a lingering magic. "My beloved, I will always take care of you and watch how you fare," he whispered. The wind tore at us, and after a moment, he put the stretch mask back on. "I shall live only for you," I softly replied, "and my love for you will give me strength." The MG appeared from the open hold, suspended in a beam of white light that gently deposited it on the dusty track facing uphill. As the wide opening in the hull closed silently, I caught a fleeting glimpse of Charon within a last wave of the hand and a flash of white teeth. Akin stood still and watched as I climbed into the MG. I drove the car slowly up the track to get out of range of the spaceship. I switched off the ignition and engaged the handbrake. Opening the door, I got out and looked back. Akin was gone. The spaceship was sealed. As I watched, the ship started to pulsate and glow with an unearthly radiance in the lowering mist, and then it too was gone. The beautiful starship was gone, and my life and my love had gone with it. I returned to the car and drove on up the dusty track over the mountaintop, back to the farmstead nestling in the trees on the north side facing the mountains of the Dragon. A warm welcome and a happy greeting always awaited me, no matter what time of day or night I arrived and no matter how long I had been away or where I had been. I had come back again, that was enough. My room was always ready, with the bed turned down. Old Mutti hovered in the kitchen with a steaming silver pot of tea and fresh honey from the hive, and some of his special whole wheat scones with Jersey butter. 7. The nature of the universe. Things had changed back on the farm. My sister's health was failing, and Jock had had another heart attack. He could no longer take part in all the activities he had been used to. It was sad for them. Both of them had always been very active in social and sporting events, with many friends everywhere. These friends, though, in a manner peculiar to Natal, were insular and wrapped up in their own affairs, and they seemed oblivious to the needs of others. Jock and May had always done so much for others. They were unselfish and generous, so different from the people around them. The beautiful estate was left more and more to the care of the Zulu manager of the farm area. Old Mutti interfered, trying to run the estate his way. David and I stayed on for a while to help, but I sensed that May and Jock would not be here much longer. I could foresee the beginning of their transcendence. They would soon be bound for the realm where the mysteries of birth, life and death revealed the truth of their substance within the divine power of the universe, where light rules the destiny of humankind. No sadness cast its shadow across the rolling foothills of the Drakensburg. Only a paean of joy, in tune with the infinite universe of light, illuminated the craggy peaks. It created a connection with our neighboring solar system beyond the light barrier, where humankind of Earth seek and find the light of eternal life and the divine truth of their existence in other realms that testify to worlds beyond Earth. The farm homestead lay shimmering in the morning sunlight, and the delightful pungent smell of gumwood smoke filled the still air. I wondered what would become of all this beauty, where peace and quiet rested like the sunlight over the trees and mountain slopes. I thought of the great hump of Flying Saucer Hill, where Akon had told me of the magic qualities of light as we lay together in the long, seeding grass of the mountain slope and looked into the mysterious ice blue of the sky as the hills tumbled away into the shadowed land of Natal. Our place of meeting was passing on in time. Now I sensed that a new cycle of metamorphosis would emerge to show them the way to eternal life. No longer could events and happenings on Earth strangle and suffocate me, or end my feelings to shreds with the knowledge of the truth of a planet with its people still within the dire throes of a lower evolutionary scale. People must first breathe in before they can breathe out, and live, and burst the shell of darkness. Jock died suddenly one night, passing into death's brief shadow as the lifeless mealy pit shrivels in death before moving on into a new cycle of vibrating life energy. His serene face told me he had found the truth of eternal metamorphosis. The force of continuing creation was now released within him as when the cycles of time return to pure form in a star, a cloud, a bird or a human being. Nothing ever happens by chance, and the divine spark of life energy had delivered itself up to the great current of nature and returned to the universe as all things do. Death is a cycle in time of change, of rebirth in life, and the flames of life and death flicker on through all existence. We sense this flickering flame of existence within the unfathomable depths of the universe, where we are all infinitesimal parts of the whole. All is change of movement through cycles of time. All of creation plays this game of change. If we remain the same, we begin to disintegrate with time and lose our beauty, because the gift of metamorphosis is lost. And unlike the mealy pit, the spark of life energy shrivels too, and cannot live again through the cycles of time. We need to reach the center of the universal force on a frequency wave where light responds to our vibrations in that instant of time we know as death. Only in this way are we permitted to continue within the energetic electrical cycle of that magic lease we sense as life. The energy vibrations of our being, where our dreams materialize, is quite separate from the brain. It is these energy vibrations that live on in the eternal spectrum of light beyond the darkness of death. A few months later, my sister followed Jock. In her brief encounter with death, she too passed through the time cycle of metamorphosis into the eternal energy of life. Death is a part of life and life is a part of death. We must all experience its shadowy touch, as it is a part of the universe. Like a star, your physical body gradually decays and degenerates away, burns itself out, and the shell around one that protects the soul energy within falls away. But the real you, that divine spark, the life field, moves on into infinite timelessness in cyclical patterns, retaining a race memory within the subconscious as each life cycle occurs. You reject chaos and retain a highly organized life system that harmonically interacts with all living things and the environment. An intricate web of continuous communication connects all life throughout the universe into one vast, spinning system, and we are all part of the whole. We are all a part of this eternity, and as our life fields evolve in harmony without chaos, the cells of our bodies cease to degenerate. The waxing and waning of all stars and planets and the rhythm of the Earth affect our life fields. We are very sensitive living sundials, responding to the star of our system. When we find the meaning of eternal life, we will be able to achieve all things, as Akin's civilization has done. There is so much more to living in the universe than just the nuts and bolts approach of the man in the street or the understanding of the average scientist. Most people have absolutely no conception of what the universe means to them. It is just random chaos. But they cause the chaos by not communicating with their environment and the universe. Instead, they destroy, thus creating an unbalanced effect within their environment that ripples outward beyond the solar system. Life is inherent in cosmic forces. As we live and think, so the universe responds to us. This is prayer. Our life fields, auroras, carry an electrical charge, attracting negative ions to us for more stimulation. In this way our life fields remain positively charged and attract the negative particles. Retaining communication and unity with the universe is the secret of life. Our galaxy, the Milky Way, whose energy interacts harmonically with neighboring galaxies and galaxies beyond, and on into intergalactic space, ad infinitum. Wave patterns create harmonic chords that can be read like a score of music, and the illusion of matter is strung together with electromagnetic and nuclear forces of light. Microatoms are organized, and when they are in living vibrations, they constantly repair and replace themselves. Feeding on harmony, they recognize and respond to the universe and its light energy. In this way, our beings become one with the cosmos, and we can find eternal life within the same natural frequency where resonance in sympathy maintains our connection. As light waves carry information to us, we respond according to our harmonic evolution in the octaves of time. The time continuum exists throughout galactic space, in the medium where galaxies are formed and have their being within the electromagnetic waveform of eternal light. We are an integral part of all this. And as we attain the ability of positive thinking, it will bring us into contact with the cosmic intelligence. There are some of us, though, who are still in touch with the Galactic Directory and can ask for help to stop the rot of this civilization. We need to understand the light of the universe. The eternal truths of life await our perception and consciousness in the realization of seven dimensions, where humankind is not unique. Then we will be able to traverse these parallel waves, where spaceships traveling in curved space can meet and fuse at a moment in time that is a point where all lines come together. The answer to spaceflight propulsion has been solved by Akin's civilization. The mathematical formula to control gravity has been in use within their spaceships for eons, and light emanates from these great starships as a secondary manifestation of gravity waves. They have discovered its nature and its magical properties, and have worked out a formula to harness its energy for the benefit of their civilization. Gravity waves radiate outward from the nucleus of our Milky Way galaxy, interacting with all forms of matter, keeping the stars and planets in their places by pushing them outward in the everlasting circle of speeding light that forms the vast rotating lens of our galaxy. Gravity is the push from the hub of the flattened spiral of the cosmic storm that is our galaxy. These waves are oscillating at frequencies thousands of megacycles beyond the visible light spectrum. Due to this high frequency, their general force is attractive, and electromagnetic waves react with the electrical charges and currents created within the field differentials of the spaceship's propulsion systems. Light exists throughout our galaxy, interacting harmonically with the electromagnetic waveform, the temperate geometric and the resonating, binding force of gravity, the forces of the universe that form the unified field of cosmic energy. Earth scientists still have trouble measuring it, and do not seem to be aware of this, yet this is the basis of all life throughout the universe. Without the unified field, we would all fly apart and end in chaos. Expansion of thought will come in the wavelength of time when the insight of humankind has reached a deeper and more spiritual level. At the present time, they are exiled on a speck of a planet out on a limb of the Milky Way galaxy, isolated in the cosmos, not knowing what they are or how they originated. Wholeness is attained within a star, a planet, a spaceship or flying saucer. A complete circle retains the wholeness of the universe or galaxy in which we all have our being. Only by becoming whole oneself, as a minute particle of the universe, can one give form to that inaccessible reality known as truth. The collective unconscious of this world is no longer in tune with the universe. The practice of religions in the East and West only continue out of habit, and they have ceased to produce any results. Overwhelming masses of people swarm over the surface of this planet, creating an image of quantity without quality. This submerges the individual, who alone must think thoughts that are capable of transforming this world. The individual is in danger of perishing in a mass-produced world where all are alike and think alike. In nature, all forms of life are different, retaining their own individual patterns of behavior and thought while remaining a part of the universe. The vibrations of nature weld all life into wholeness, as individual particles contribute to the wholeness of the atmospheres of planets. Angelslight.org. People of this planet lost contact with the universe thousands of years ago in Earth time. They are now accelerating toward the total destruction of nature and the environment. This is why they can expect nothing but chaos. The gap now is narrowing to less than 30 years in time for the survival of the planet and the way of life they have been softened to. Through stupidity and ignorance, they are destroying their natural environment, causing Earth to become a barren world devoid of beauty and life. Other so-called civilizations have done this on other planets, when they lost touch with the universe, or galactic directory. Some of us, though, are still in touch with the galactic directory and can ask for help to stop the rot of this civilization. We are family, and can turn in need to the advanced people residing in the solar system of Alpha Centauri in the constellation of Centaurus, who fathered humankind on this planet eons ago and farmed us out here, entrusting the planet to our care. We have now abused the sacred trust left to us by our forebears, who moved out into interstellar space to found a new civilization beyond the time barrier to preserve and guard the environment of our universe against other, hostile civilizations. As the mind absorbs the fourth dimension of the space-time continuum, one becomes an evolved human being with understanding and love of all things. If developed as a duplication of nature, science and technology will know no bounds. There will be no energy shortages. Motivation systems can be tapped in abundance and without cost from the universe. This will facilitate construction and overcome all traffic and pollution problems across the entire planet. It will also simplify the interplanetary and interstellar travel that will take us to the furthermost stars. These secrets still elude scientists on Earth. Our scientists seek the clues to the natural energy of the universe with every available method of scientific research and investigation within their grasp, yet they overlook one simple clue. Earth is a living, breathing entity. Right under their big, clumsy feet, the planet moves in orbit with perturbation, inhaling and exhaling, expanding and contracting like a variable star, creating continuous life. Throughout space, on the surface of other Earths, it is the same. All have the magnetic stuff of life, gravity and light. All are within the whole. Gravity research presents tremendous and challenging information, undreamt of in present-day science and physics, where the limit of knowledge is bound and restricted to a formula of narrow and rigid conformity. This galactic force, as yet not understood, pervades our very lives, binding us all together as an integral part of the whole and involving us all into an open dialogue with the universe. Cosmic energy exists throughout our galaxy, a great spiral system of hydrogen gas clouds filled with stars and planets. Galaxies have always been. They are born from electromagnetic vortices within the minimum temperature of the void and commence to spin and form vast spiral or vortex storms, in the center of which enormous pressure will arise. As the hydrogen fog cloud evolves into a compact galaxy, heat is generated by the microatoms that are unable to penetrate the minimum temperature of intergalactic space. Spinning with tremendous velocity, an ion nucleus is formed in the center, and the young galaxy becomes big-hubbed, with gas clouds spinning toward the center. As the galaxy ages, its rotation flattens it out into a flying saucer-shaped E7 galaxy, and then into a spiral whose arms are formed and filled with stars and planets. Dust-belted, the galaxy evolves and star formation continues within the halo shockwave as it sweeps through the utter blackness of the minimum temperature void of intergalactic space. The same process occurs when an eddy forms in the gas clouds, generating a more intense and compact vortex that becomes a star. Among the hydrogen atoms, many microatoms will be compressed and explode with the high temperature. In this way, helium is formed. The greater the pressure and heat of the microatoms, the more explosions and elements are formed, and the hydrogen fog cloud grows into a spinning star, radiating light to the outermost limits of its system. At those limits, planets form as smaller vortices triggered off by electricity from the parent vortex. The cells of the dust cloud bud forth all around their mother star, springing out in new heat explosions as the microatoms of light are condensed further, forming vibrating matter that periodically emits magma and heat residue in the form of volcanic eruptions in geometric relation to the time and light emanation of the mother vortex. Some are so close that they fuse with the mother star or with each other, forming larger planets, until the entire vortex storm settles down to a vibratory rate of harmonic interaction. Life is triggered by electricity within planetary environments as life-giving gases and atmosphere spew forth from a planet's magma. Anomalies in gravity from the parent star release magma in atomic explosions of varying intensity, the release of a star's lifeblood enabling us all to be created out of stardust. Gravity waves push against the surface of Earth, whose mass and density depend on the magma within the source of all light and life. Gravity sweeps outward from the nucleus of the spinning disk of our galaxy, exerting a pressure on all nebulae, stars and planets. As our Milky Way galaxy settles down in its vibratory rate, seven spiral arms are being formed and filled with solar systems where millions and millions of planets harbor life. Our universe is everlasting, creating the light of eternity within its electromagnetic field. Light, heat and life are created in the atmospheres of planets, and in our galaxy's orbital speed and rotational velocity around the metagalaxy, a prodigious system within the depths of intergalactic void, the limitless reaches of outer space. There, the minimum temperature controls the lives of galaxies as they orbit in continuous momentum, in ever-widening circles around the metagalaxy's electromagnetic hub. We are all electric beings within an electromagnetic universe of light that has always been and will always be. It forms and multiplies, cell upon cell throughout the infinite void, when microatoms, the ultimate particles, vibrate in substance to which we are attuned. All things take shape relative to this planet, whose radius is a geometrical connection with time, light and gravity. Electricity triggers the birth of galaxies, stars and planets. Gravity is created by the vortex spin of all elements in nature. So the spiral system continues, only protected from chaos and entropy by the void of minimum temperature beyond the light barrier.